Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru and a real live new car dealer. I operate a new car dealership in Greenville, if you basically pronounced it like it's spelled, it would be Greenyville, Tennessee. But you know why it has the extra E in it? I'll give you a second. It's because it's not named after the color green. It's named after Nathaniel Green, who never set foot in Greene County, Tennessee. But he was a Revolutionary War hero, and somebody just thought it'd be a good idea to name a county after him. Second largest square mile county in the state of Tennessee, second only to some other county out west, western Tennessee. But it is the largest, definitely the largest in from Nashville over, so we have that. We used to be the number one producer of tobacco, and in the state of Tennessee, the number one producer of milk, and the number one producer of, I can't remember what the other crop was. We used to produce a lot of, and they still do produce a lot of soybeans. It seems like everywhere I look, I see soybean fields. They're pretty when they're growing. I've got one beside my house right now that's gorgeous. I may have to fly over it with my drone and take some pictures. That's the advantage of having a drone or a helicopter. You can take pictures from up above. I do that occasionally. I can fly this thing. The brand is a DJI. The only thing I don't like about it, it's made in Japan, and maybe they're spying on me with it, but who knows. I can get on my back porch, take it off, and fly. The farthest I've gotten away from the house, according to the little GPS thing, is about 4.5 miles, and then the signal starts breaking up. And I don't want to lose my $1,200 drone. But anyway, if it loses my signal, or the, if it can't see my transmitter anymore, I can't see a picture, it's gone. And rather than, falling down and sobbing, that thing should be back at the house in about 5 minutes, because what it does is it has a return to home feature. And so that return to home feature is supposed to bring it back, and it will land within just a few feet of where it took off from. Now, I have tested that a couple times. I haven't gotten out of range, but I did push the return to home button. It's not really a button. It's on the screen. And it, doggone it, it returned to home, just like Lassie. But it was a great experience being able to fly that far from the house. And you've got to keep the elevation down. Now, if you're listening to me, FAA, I follow all the rules, and I'm registered. I do not fly over 400 feet high, because that is a no-no. So I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I also use it to shoot videos of cars that I am selling. It will actually follow a car down my driveway. I just have to set it up right. One day I didn't, and it ran into an oak tree. That was this same drone, but I had to send it off and get it fixed. I was so upset. It flew right. It has this collision avoidance stuff like cars are supposed to have, but it doesn't see leaves very well, and it flew into this cluster of leaves, and I'm telling you, the best chef in New York couldn't chop salad as good as that thing was doing. I mean, it was going to town on those leaves, and it was funny. It was just showering down leaves, and so if I'd have just not panicked, I could have gone over, let it sit there cutting up the leaves, and just gotten underneath it and then shut it off, and I probably could have caught it. Of course, I may have chopped my finger off at the same time. So anyway, it's worth losing a finger for $1,200. No, it's not. So anyway, that kind of stuff happens. It only to me, though. So this return to home feature, wouldn't it be great if cars would do that? Now, I've been anticipating technology to take us to a point where we truly have driverless cars, where we can jump in the back seat. We can read the newspaper. Of course, we won't have newspapers then. We'll just, look on our little iPads and not pay attention and let the car take us. We just tell it where we want to go and let the car take us where we want to go. Now, I think that would be wonderful, except for the fact that I like to drive. And I hope that if we ever get to that point, which I won't, I'll be gone, but somebody gets to that point who loves cars, loves to drive, they'll still have that option. But I'm not sure that, in big cities and things like that, that you will have that option. I've watched too many sci-fi movies. I've seen all these cars flying through the air and, you know, driving in single file and, you know, just going at the same speed and all that stuff, and nobody crashes into each other. Just think, when we have cars with that kind of technology, you won't need car insurance. They won't be able to steal your car. You won't be able to wreck your car. It won't wreck unless it, you know, has a virus in it or something. Then it might. But you will be able to summon your car to come pick you up and from the garage. And you can even tell it to honk the horn so that you know when it's nice and warmed up and ready to go. And then you can, it'll take you to the doctor's office. You won't have to drive. Just think what a wonderful mobility thing that will be for older people. When you can go to the doctor's office and it, your car drops you off, and then it goes and parks itself. And then when you're ready, you just get your little smartphone out, if, as long as you're not still using those flip phones out there. But you have your smartphone, and you just summon your car, and it pulls right up, and there it is. And you'll be able to climb right in, and it'll take you home. To me, that is a grand benefit for the elderly or people that, you know, maybe the blind, you know, people who are disabled in some way and not able to get around. So it will free up some resources in that regard. You know, the future is not all bleak. I mean, I think the media wants you to think it is. I'm just kind of a glass half full kind of a guy. Is that hard to tell? Can you tell? That's just me. And some folks don't look at life with the same viewpoint that I do. I am. I can get negative, though. You know, those are in the quiet moments. We all have that ability to do that. And I can get mad, and I have. And, you know, sometimes I don't get as mad as I used to. I used to be offended when somebody, one of my neighbors bought a car from somebody else, but I don't let it bug me anymore. People just aren't loyal, you know, like they used to be, and they don't think it's any big deal. They think if they buy a Ford from somebody else that, well, you know, he's a Ford dealer too. Doesn't that help you, Lenny? I said, not hardly. I am an independent Ford dealer, and I've never had another Ford dealer send me a paycheck. Not yet. So I used to get upset when customers, you know, said that they were mad in the service department, and they blame me personally for it, you know, because I didn't work on it, but my technician did. But it just, you know, when you're young, you know how it is. Sometimes you get your feelings hurt a little bit easier and get defensive. And my dad squashed that in me after a few little outbursts in my 20s. I'm not really outburst. It's just that I was not one to be talked down to. And, you know, I learned a lesson a long time ago from Zig Ziglar. You remember him? He was a great speaker, motivational speaker. If you never have, just Google him and go to YouTube and listen to some Zig Ziglar speeches. They are motivational. And he said, one of his famous quotes was, "I get what I want by helping enough other people get what they want." Now, is that a self-serving kind of a comment? You know, I've never really looked at it that way, that it's self-serving. I think it goes along kind of with the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you do good things for other people, and then they will in turn be nice and do good things for you, and you'll get what you want. You know, a business that takes care of their customers, has good, solid product, dependable service, they're going to reap a benefit from that with dollars, which is the result of loyalty and repeat business, right? So if you do the right things and you do them consistently, then your business will thrive. You know, unless you're selling a product that people don't want. But for the most part, there's a buyer for everything, and you just have to find the customers and do your very best. You know, sometimes your very best is not good enough. You ever found that to be the case? That's when you got to hire people who can do it better than you. I have learned that the hard way. I tried to be a finance manager one time in my car dealership. I said, well, I don't need a finance manager. I'll just do that myself. I found out real quickly that is not my bag. Sitting in an office doing paperwork is not Lenny Lawson. I am a front lines kind of a guy, and and a team builder and visionary kind of a person. And I am not the guy who counts beans. That's not me. So you got to find somebody that can do that for you, and that makes your business work better. So anyway, that's the commentary for today, and we will be back in just a minute. Okay, we're back. This is My Car Guru, and I'm Lenny Lawson, and here we go. Jaguar is a storied brand, isn't it? Do you know where Jaguars are made, or where they originally were made? That's right, England. Of course, it's a British brand. So is Land Rover. Land Rover came from the British Isles. No longer, though. They are now owned by a company called, get ready, Tata. Yep, Tata Motors. They own Jaguar Land Rover. They reported a wider than expected first quarter loss as the global microchip shortage dragged down sales. That's not unexpected. Tata report. I just love that. Can you tell? Tata just reported a loss of 44.5 billion rupees. You know what that is? That's only $598 million in dollars. Sounds a lot worse when you're talking in billions, but they're rupees. Basically through June 30th. So that is not good. So Tata may be going bye-bye. I don't know. Probably not. I think that they're doing well in China. Their sales in China actually jumped 14%. General Motors is suing competitor Ford Motor Company. Why? For violating a trademarked driver assistance technology that's used for hands-free features, according to a lawsuit. GM wants to protect their basically hands-free driving name of their brand. It's called Cruise or Super Cruise. Ford in April renamed its Copilot 360 automated driving system to Blue Cruise. So GM said in court documents that they're not happy about that. You can't use the word Cruise in your name. It's not fair. So they're suing them. And recently, there have been a lot of suits by Jeep against a company in India that happens to make a Jeep look-alike, and they're wanting to sell in the United States. And Jeep is all mad because it looks like a Jeep, even though the vehicle is not cannot be driven on. It's not street legal, okay? So it's just an off-road type of vehicle. But they don't want anything that looks like a Jeep being sold in the United States. So we shall see how that turns out. Something else in the news, I've just been seeing a lot of large dealer groups swallowing up small guys like me. So here's another group, the Ziegler Auto Group, closed the acquisition of four dealerships in Wisconsin, marking its first stores in the state and its first Toyota and Hyundai outlets. Hyundai to most of you, or Hyundai. But, you know, if you live in Korea, it's Hyundai, I believe. The growing retailer acquired Racine Honda, Racine Toyota, and Racine Hyundai, and Kenosha Subaru. So the reason I'm going through that is just to tell you that, you know, dealer acquisition and geezers like me selling out their dealerships is very common right now, and it's going on. The hot market, I know it doesn't seem like it's a hot market because the availability of cars is not good and the chip shortage and all that stuff, but it has been a great recovery from a overall sales standpoint and from a profit standpoint. So dealership valuations are really going up, so these big dealer groups are snapping them up. They've got the working capital, and I have them come at me all the time. I mean, every time I go through the mail, there's like three or four headhunters, basically, they're looking for car dealerships that are for sale. And they paint this big, glorious picture and stuff. Well, I'm not selling. You know, this is a private corporation. I'm the sole stockholder, and I have no partners. I've had partners in the past. I don't mind them. But, my family's involved in this business, and, you know, it's just something that I enjoy doing. And I mean, I'm getting old, but I just can't see stopping. So, not for sale. No, not here. Okay, so it may not be long before you need to really be concerned about your tires on your car. Tires is the way most people say it. But anyway, your tire condition is critical to your safety. Now, I lost a tire on my tractor the other day. I was about 500 yards from my house in the woods, and a tire came off the wheel. And it was typically what you expect is that it's been punctured by something, and that's I thought I might have hit something, and it just kind of hit it pretty hard. But I didn't remember hitting anything, so more than likely I was stabbed by something sharp. And that's what it was, and so we were able to patch it and go on the road. So anyway, back to the field in the woods. But if you are if you have a flat tire, if you have a blowout, you're going 70 miles an hour, and it happens on your front because of an old tire. It's got age cracks in it, kind of like I do. That's not a good situation. That's difficult to control. Now, most cars have something called stability control, which helps you maintain control up to a point. But, if you go off the road and then jerk the steering wheel, that stability control can only do so much. And I'm seeing more and more folks on the side of the road with flat tires. And some of that has to do with punctures, but some of it has to do with just rot. And so you need to know, you need to check the age of your tires. Also need to check the tread depth. Make sure that they're not worn on the inside. Now, you can see the outside of your tires just walking around it, but make sure that you go outside and turn your steering wheel to the right, to the left. Have somebody looking at your tires and turn it to the left and check out the inside tread, and then turn it to the right so you can look at the inside tread on the opposite side, because then you will know if you have even tire wear. Now, if you do not have even tire wear, you need a front end alignment, not a tire balance. A lot of people get that confused. They think, well, my car's pulling. I must need my tires balanced. Well, that's not what balancing does. Balancing your tire. Now, a severe out-of-balance situation can cause your tires to wear. There's no doubt about that. But that's typically, it's an alignment problem. So you need to have your front end aligned. You haven't heard of that in a while. There's not a lot of people talk about it. Sometimes when people only get an alignment when they get a new set of tires. If your tires are wearing perfectly even, then maybe you don't need an alignment. I typically don't get an alignment unless I see an issue. Sometimes you will see a kind of a scalloping wear pattern on the outside edge of your tires. And that could be an alignment situation. You could have worn out shock absorbers. You know, that can cause that as well. You know, one of the things I wanted to kind of review, though, was what did the numbers on this side of your tires mean? You know, like it says P235/75R15105S. What does all that mean? Does it mean anything? Yes, it does. The P in the beginning of this number stands for the type of tire that you have. P means the tire is made for lighter passenger cars. If you have an LT on your tire and it starts with that, then it's made for SUVs and light trucks. The next number is 235 in this case. It indicates the width of the tire measured in millimeters. So these particular tires are 235 millimeters wide. The next number, right after the slash, is a 75. This is what they call the tire's aspect ratio, but it's basically that the sidewall is 75% of the width of the tire in height. Okay, so the height of this tire from the wheel to the top of the tread is 75% of 235 millimeters. Why didn't they just put what it was instead of having you have to do the math? Anyway, the R tells you that it is a radial tire. And you're not going to see many Bs anymore. Those are belted bias tires. And so, you know, so it's always going to say R for the most part. 15, the R15 means that it's a 15-inch wheel. So you don't see a lot of 15-inch wheels anymore, except on small cars. Trucks are always like 16, 17, 18. I saw some 22s the other day came in on a new Ford truck. Let's see. Then the 105 is the load index, how much weight the tire can support. A tire with 105 load index can support a maximum weight of 2,000 and 39 pounds. I guess you'd have to look that up. That's another, why don't they just put a number on the side of what it can do? And then the S basically is the speed rating of the tire. If it's an S tire, then you're safe up to 112 miles an hour. So if it says something else, then you can probably go faster. But you don't have any business going 112 anyway. So we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, to wrap this up, to stay consistent on your tire sizes. You know, there's a lot of people like to lift trucks and put bigger tires on them, and they look good. I get it. I understand it. But if you change your tire size, you're changing the engineering, the design, the functionality of your vehicle in certain ways. If you go with a lower profile tire, it's not going to ride as good. If you go with a wider tire, then when you turn your wheel, you might be rubbing something on the inside. Don't trust your own judgment. Go to a tire store. Go where they know what they're talking about and figure out the right tires to go in your car. Also, if you go with a larger tire or a smaller tire in that regard, as far as height is concerned, if you change the wheel size, if you go to like a 22-inch wheel, you had an 18-inch wheel, you put bigger tires on it, you're changing the diameter of the tire, and that affects your speed. So bigger tire is going to register lower speed and lower miles on your car. So you may put 100,000 miles on your car as far as the odometer, but you really got 125,000 miles on your car. So it will mess that up too. And some late model vehicles will not allow you to adjust that in the onboard computer. Most older vehicles, you can change that. You can just go in and reprogram, tell it what size tires you got that you're going to, and it'll make your speedometer correct and your odometer. But if you don't do that, then it's going to be off. So if you're trying to sell it to somebody and you say, well, it only has 100,000 miles on it, well, it really has 125,000 because you cheated. You put bigger tires on it. So just some tire information for you, just more of the kind of stuff that you get on My Car Guru. And we'll see you tomorrow.